save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean show. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is the show that talks about the effects of the climate crisis, how it can affect us individually, and what we might be able to do about it. I've got a great guest today. We're going to be looking at the links between mental health and well-being, and associating that, of course, with our subject matter, which is the climate crisis. But before we get onto that, I interestingly just did a little bit of research, and you know, being I guess one of the only environmental or sustainability shows on UK Health Radio, I thought it'd be quite fascinating to look into what the kind of organizations like the World Health Organization and, you know, Mental Health Foundation and Wellcome and, you know, organizations like this actually had to say about the climate crisis and the links to mental health. And I tell you what, I was quite shocked. So here's some of the information that I got. And as you know, we always start with a news piece. I'm just kind of sharing this really just for you to be mindful to see whether, in fact, you know, whether this in the back of your mind is potentially having a little bit of an impact on the way that you are and be in the world. So I'm just going to point these things out. So the IPCC report, which is an independent panel, climate change panel, they revealed that in 2022, this was, which I think when the last report came out, that rapidly increasing climate change poses a rising threat to mental health and a psychological and psychological well-being, from emotional distress to anxiety, depression, grief, and suicidal behavior. It says here that between 20 to 50% of people who live through unpredictable and extreme weather events can develop immediate elevated rates of anxiety, depression, even PTSD, sleep disruption, insomnia, and again, the suicidal ideation. And as many as 10 to 20% may experience post-traumatic stress disorder in the years following a disaster. So let's just look at that for a minute. I mean, yes, we live in the UK and, you know, we have floods and we've had some extreme temperatures rising, you know, particularly last year. I think there were some deaths related to that. But just think about those people that are on the global south where conditions are much worse. It's much hotter. There's less water. There's no air conditioning. There's, you know, all these less decent food, et cetera, et cetera. So I want us to just maybe for a moment just to consider not only the impact it's having on us, but actually the impact it's having on our brothers and sisters around the world. So there are three main types of environmental factors that affect mental health, right? These are physical factors. And there's things like Pollution. So, of course, we know that we have heavy pollution issues in some of the major cities in the UK, particularly down south in London. Working conditions. So, if you're in an office environment and, there's no biophilic design or, natural light or, those things that, so that has an effect as well. Weather conditions, of course, which we've talked about, but there are also social factors such as abuse or poor support, toxic relationships. Now, these are all related actually to the climate situation because, of course, you could be in an unforeseen environment because of the climate. You might have been kicked, pushed out of your home because of an earthquake, or, all of these disasters are happening all the time, nearly every week across the planet. There was a Incidentally, there was an earthquake in New York just the other day. There wasn't any fundamentally damage done, but it was a 4.8 on the Richter scale, so it had the potential to rock and bring down buildings. So they had to do a very thorough search. So clearly, the Earth is speaking to us. So I just wanted to point out that climate anxiety can lead to symptoms such as panic attacks, loss of appetite, irritability, weakness, and sleeplessness. And, given the increased evidence about the impact of climate change on health and psychological professions might ask if their patients feel, worse or more anxious down to some of the climate issues. So I'm just bringing that to you guys because I know you listen with intent and with integrity, and just keep a lookout for your friends and family, your children, your parents, and just make those inquiries amongst your peers and your family just to say and have these conversations about the climate, because we can't keep ignoring it. It is getting worse. It's not going away until we fix the fundamental problems, and they are related to things like our addiction to fossil fuels, our addiction to deforestation, our addiction to toxic ingredients and chemicals in our beauty products and foods, and et cetera, et cetera. So I know many of you that will be listening to this will be living a much more conscious, aware lifestyle. The problem is not everybody is. So the more that you can give, nudges and perhaps even prods and pokes sometimes, and actually, inquire what's going on. How do you feel about this? Are there any changes you can make? And often there are little things like, switching your pension fund, where you pay your pension, to an impact and sustainable pension fund can have 21 times more of a positive impact than something like going vegan, which equally is an important thing to do. So, be mindful. Be aware and really tap into your community and have these conversations. And if you want to get clued up, you want to get a bit more information, you want to find out, have more information or ammo in your toolkit. So when you're having these conversations, go to mygreenpod.com. We've got over 5,000 articles there on all kinds of subjects. So go to the site, have a look what you're interested in, think about what your friends and family might be interested in, and take that information with you, to the dinner table, to the breakfast table, to the coffee shop, to wherever you're hanging out. And thank you, thank you, thank you for that. So that leads me nicely on to today's guest. Today's guest is a gentleman, a really cool guy called Alfie Ruffle. He and I met in Dubai at COP. He was out there with a group of amazing people, and we happened to be hanging out in the same entourage with the Green Sheikh and various others. We got to talk on panels. I got to do a few interviews with Alfie, and I just really liked his vibe. I'm 53 now. He's kind of at the beginning of his career. I'm not even sure what age he is, but I know he's younger than me, and a lot more handsome. But the point of this is that what he's actually doing is focusing on a particular area, which I think is super, super important. So I'm just going to read to you a little bit about Alf. He's the founder of RioVitalize. It's a lifestyle brand that is on a mission to change the landscape of modern day wellness through the powers of natural alternatives, wellness tourism, and media. Since starting out on his journey, he has been growing cannabis in Spain and soon to be growing also in Uruguay. In between growing and running a retail business, he has been invited to speak about sustainability, mental health, and cannabis, which is, of course, we know it as CBD, at the World Peace Summit, COP28, which is where we met, and recently at the House of Lords. Alfie, welcome to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for coming to join us. Alfie, tell me about the difference between cannabis and CBD, first of all. So what are we actually talking about here? What kind of businesses Revitalize?
So cannabis is CBD. A lot of people get this mixed up.
Right, okay.
So marijuana is what we've sort of called THC,
Ah, that's the bit.
which is the compound that gets you high, which is the compound that is illegal in the UK. But back in the 1930s, through propaganda, through mass media, they actually adopted the word marijuana from Mexico. And they called THC, the high THC strains, marijuana. It's all cannabis at the end of the day. It
Right, okay.
is strains. I'm working with strains which is below the legal limit, which is 0.2. So everything that we do and what we sell is completely above board and completely legal, which a lot of people, when you first say cannabis or talk about CBD, their mind first of all jumps to, oh my God, is that illegal compound that
Yeah.
that may get you high, that may get you to do things out of your personality, which isn't true.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Thank you for clearing that up. So cannabis is safe to say, safe to use. It's the THTC, which is the bit that can alter your state, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you for that. Alfie, when I read out your little bio, just about you, is there anything that you think was missing from that? Anything you'd like to share with our listeners, that's not written down there, but you feel it's important we should know?
Yeah, so I started out on this journey about 5 years ago now, when my dad fell ill. My dad was given a triple aortic dissection, so there's the main organ in which pumps blood to the heart, to the legs, and to the brain. Now that's from his neck down to his legs. Was told he would never be able to go under operation because it's too severely impacted now, his aortic. So with that, they said, "Look, like, you've got 6 months to live. You're sort of going to be wheelchair bound for the rest of your life, and you can't work anymore." At that point, we put natural alternative medicines and therapy plans together for my dad, and that was 5 years ago. This is actually coming up towards the sixth year now, and he's working, he's walking, and listen, he's up and down. He's still here with us. So.
He's literally up and down if he's walking.
Yeah,
Yeah. Oh,
exactly.
that's great. So what you're saying is essentially that the medical system had told him one thing, and you'd researched an alternative, natural way of looking at it. You did that, and it had huge benefits.
Correct.
So why is that important to you? What has that opened up now for you to go into the business of Revitalize?
Well, it made me realize that, if someone like myself, who got no background in medicine, can go away and do a bit of research and come up together with a wellness plan myself, then actually any of us can go and do that. It's just, having the education to go and do that. And where do you get education now? It's all in front of us. It's we've information is there to be read and there to be learned. So it's for me, it's to start putting information in front of people. And for my brand, we want to focus on education. It needs to be a massive part of what we do. But what really got me passionate during COVID, my previous business stopped. So what I'd done with my dad helping him, I decided to just help more people in town who are struggling. And as a lot of people were struggling with mental health during COVID. So I was finding myself like 60 to 70% of my wellness plans were really geared towards people who were struggling mentally. And in the last 18 months, I thought I was doing a lot in the town. I thought I was making a bit of an impact in my sort of social circles.
And the town is where?
A place called Portsmouth.
Portsmouth. Great.
It
Thank you.
actually happens to be one of the worst places in the UK for young male suicide.
Right.
About 18 months ago, no, it's actually, do you know what? It's a year tomorrow. A year tomorrow, my good friend Mason Peddle took his life. And I thought, that me and Mace were, well, Mace would have been able to reach out and would have seen what I was doing online and would have been able to sort of, yeah, reach out for some advice or maybe even a wellness plan. But that didn't happen. And then a couple of months later, we lost another friend called Ian Lamb. And then since Ian Lamb, there's been several other people in Portsmouth, the circles that are sort of knock about him.
Just to be clear, that are taking their own lives.
Yeah, committing suicide.
Commit suicide. Goodness me. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Listen, it is what it is, but something needs to happen. Something, and it's not just in Portsmouth, it's
Is
worldwide.
that, yeah, well, isn't the suicide rate for men, it's about 70% higher, isn't it, than female?
70%. Yeah, they say statistics say there's 84 of us men taking our own lives a week.
Goodness me. And
Yeah.
that in the world, or it,
That's in the UK.
that's in the UK.
It's in the
Goodness
UK.
me.
Yeah. So
So clearly, I mean, look, I'm sorry, this is obviously a poignant time with the anniversary of his death tomorrow. I mean, what just tell me what you were going through when you heard that news. Like, you being in the wellness space, you hearing about this, you knowing that you might have had some solutions, but what was the feeling state of you at that time? Like, what were you thinking?
especially being Mason, I was just so thrown back and confused. And I felt a little bit useless, if I'm honest with you, at
Right.
the time. Listen, but you see Mason. Mason's one in a million. Mason's the type of boy, he's known all around the town. He was funny. He was always at the gym. He ran football teams. He just had a great, huge personality, and it what looked like a first for life, you know.
Yeah.
And then for that, then to be told that, it was actually my dad rang me up and said, "Have you heard about little Mason?" I said, "I just had no clue. I wasn't on socials. And I couldn't see nothing." And he broke the news to me. And you just don't want to. You don't want to think it to be true, and yet you don't believe it to be true. And then you just think it, like it's someone having a game with you. But then when it sort of sets in, and especially Portsmouth, we're a very, very small town,
Yeah.
so everyone sort of comes together. But see, when Mason done it, within a week, five other young men killed themselves.
Wow.
Five
Wow.
in Portsmouth, and whether I'm not too sure whether coincidence or someone like Mason can do it, then maybe confidence to the other. I don't know. I'm not too sure, but
Yeah.
it
And
Yeah.
this was literally a year ago. So it's post the pandemic. It was post, all of that, which was a deeply distressing time for everybody across the planet. So how did that align you then with your purpose now? Like, what did that do to you
Because
to kind
I
of.
was already, so my business, I was already helping people with wellness plans, right? And like I say, I was already helping people with mental health plans.
Yeah.
Thought I was doing a bit anyway in town. We used to have an office at one point where we were sort of just inviting people up, and we almost become like a talking therapy office, where it wasn't meant to be for that. But we had people coming up who were basically being palmed off by the doctors. They
Yeah.
would be given, well, you've got 12 weeks until you can actually see any professional. And oh, here you go, take these. And they just slide across and a pack of antidepressants, which I think a lot of us know now that it doesn't actually get to the core root of what's happening. It
It's
just
a plaster, isn't it, rather than
yes,
a root
exactly
cause
that.
fixer.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it essentially just numbs your nerves. So you may not feel sadness, but you might not feel happiness either. And what's life without that happiness, you know?
Yeah.
So, like I say, I felt like I was doing a bit, and I just decided, well, it's clear now that I need to be doing more. So I want to focus this business around mental health. And don't get me wrong, mental health, physical health, everything goes hand in hand anyway, as I see it.
Yeah.
But if I can have a real focus on that, and I think as well, young men taking their lives, I'm quite relatable. I come from that working class background. I might be able to make more of an effect. So
Yeah.
that's sort of why we've angled it to the mental health. And now, yeah, like I say, we're really, really pushing for that.
Okay, great. Listen, this is brilliant. I'm sorry to bring back that emotion and that feeling. This is great because I'm going to move into now what you've been able to create and what you're seeing are the benefits of what you're doing. We're going to cut to a commercial break. Listeners, please stay with us because I want to hear more about Alfred's story. Thank you for being patient. Quick commercial break. Alfred, be back to you in a second.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
With its abundant natural beauty, charming towns, and friendly people, South Carolina offers the kind of discoveries that stay with you long after you've left. Like the realization you're good at something you never before tried. Or your first oyster roast, and a taste you didn't expect to love. And other times, it just hits. Like the view on a windswept Appalachian mountaintop. So come find the undiscovered you in South Carolina. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm on UK Health Radio. I'm in a fascinating conversation with legend Alfie Ruffell from Rio Vitalize, the cannabis and wellness company. Alfie, thanks for going there with me. I really appreciate it. I think we all feel... you know, the depth of life that you've had to this point and, you know, losing friends, it's, you know, it's a horrible, horrible situation. But it's put you on a mission, right? It's got you onto something that is clearly going to help your demographic, which is, you know, perhaps more focused around young men, presuming between, you know, kind of 20 and 40 kind of age range, which we all know there is massive, massive, massive issues right now in that sector. There's massive issues across everywhere, but particularly with young men that are taking their lives at a dramatic rate. So, Alfie, how does your business work? So you've got the product, you've got the CBD product, but what is it you do? So, you know, If someone's to come across you on you know, the Rio Vitalize Instagram page, or if they're to come across the Rio -vitalize.com website, what are they going to get?
So you're going to get a real brand talking to real people, essentially. For me, where the business is going looks a lot different to what we looked like on the surface right now. You know, especially in these sort of last 6 to 9 months, speaking on, you know, World Peace Summit, COP28, House of Lords, I've managed to attract some real global dignitaries, essentially. And so I've been building out the team in order to have a winning team to be able to make more of an impact in the world. So as it stands right now, we're just got ourselves into a really nice position where we're looking to take over the farm in Spain. We've got, you know, a very, very unique space there where we're on a biosphere reserve. We've got a water source, the Rio Cabriel, hence where my brand name comes from, Rio Vitalize. We have free access to that water, and we have 16 properties on the farm. So it used to be home to a village to 100 people back in the 50s.
Oh, wow.
So we want to revive this land and turn it into agricultural learning centers, wellness retreats. And we'll have an R&D facilities there too, to so we can uncover the plant more. There's 137 cannabinoids. We talk about two, CBD and THC. We've got countless amounts of others, CBC, CBDA, CBG. They all have their own unique, specific healing properties. So we want to bring that to market. But as a community-led and community-focused brand, we want to use that retreat to invite people down, to show people that, you know, there's an importance to living a healthy, balanced life. And that's essentially what we call it. We've sloganed it. It's called Living the Rio Way. So it's all about the Rio Way. The Rio Way is about everything's in balance. You know, it's okay to let your hair down on the weekend and have a drink with your mates. It's going to happen. We're not trying to say 7 days a week, be militant, be getting up at R4 in the morning and you know, doing everything that you set out, because it's just not realistic. And, you know, us working class people who are maybe in jobs that we're not really too keen on, and we can't wait to connect on the weekend and get, you know, and to let our hair down with our friends. But we've got to understand that abuse without, you know, the other side of healthy living, you know, getting up in the mornings and maybe going for a walk or doing your affirmations, getting to the gym, doing things for you, actually putting the time and effort into your mental health and to your physical health, then it is okay to live that balanced lifestyle, if that makes sense. But I think
it does. I think we can all relate to that, particularly, you know, when I was a young man. I mean, you know, you'd live for your weekends, you'd be working every hour that God gave you just to get some money, and on Friday night would come, you'd be straight off to the pub, and you wouldn't really become sober again until Monday morning. It was like, that's just the way it was.
Exactly. But the fact is, inner city lives, especially in the UK, it's so drug fueled now. So we all go out and have a drink, and then you might end up, and we got to talk about these things because people aren't talking about them. But
yeah,
you might go and end up doing some other substances. And what happens is, once you do those substances, you know, the next day you're not yourself. 2 days, 3 days after, you're not yourself, and you're actually in a depressive state because you're on this come down. And then if you're not putting in the effort to actually try and bring yourself out of that state, then you can find yourself living in that state. And then it's the weekend, and then you're right again, you're high on life, you're with your mates, and then boom, next day you're in a bad way and you don't want to talk about it. You've got this anxiety and it's ruining us, you know? It's a common thing you're seeing, especially in Portsmouth. A lot of these young men are taking their lives. There has been that substance abuse at one time in their life or another.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. I can relate to that, definitely. And thank you for that. There's so much I want to talk to you about. What I'm going to do now is I always ask my guests to bring a couple of songs along, songs that are, you know, either soundtracks to the climate crisis. But I think in your case, it was more of a soundtrack to the health and well-being that you're involved in. You picked a couple of classics. So tell me the first song you've chosen. We'll play that. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back to you, and I want to ask you a couple of questions around what changes you've seen in people that you've started to help, which I think will be fascinating, because we've gone through the kind of darker side of things. Let's look at how you're lifting people up and bringing people back. But tell me the first song you've chosen, Alfie. Don't tell me why you chose it. Just tell me what song it is, and we'll talk about why at the end.
So I've chose Bob Marley, Three Little Birds.
Oh, right. Yes, Bob Marley. Rise up this morning, smile with the rising sun. Yeah, this is it. Three Little Birds by Bob Marley.
Don't worry.
Yeah, Bob Marley, Three Little Birds. Alfie, thank you for playing that song. Whenever anybody says to me, you know, what's your most favorite record, I always say it's impossible. I'd have to have a top 10. But Bob Marley is definitely up there with that track and a couple of others. So why did you choose that, Alfie?
Well, there's obviously the link with Rastafarian and cannabis, which I thought was a nice tie-in.
Yeah, you can imagine Bob kind of, you know, with cannabis writing that song, can't you? It's like they were a match made in heaven.
I actually watched a Bob Marley film last night, to be fair.
Oh, I've not seen it yet. I'm waiting for it to come out on the home screen. So was it good?
It's a good one. Really good. But the reason I chose that song, more importantly, is don't worry, be happy. You know, we worry too much. And realistically, you know, I say worrying is wishing for something to happen. So if you can't control this, you know, what's going on, then really try to just, you know, forget and be happy. And that's not enough. Not a lot of us are doing, you know?
Yeah, No, thank you for that. I must say two things I'd love to share with you. Two of my biggest heroes of existence. Bob Marley, number one. I'll tell you a little story about that in a minute. And the other one is the Lord Shiva. You know, I don't know whether Shiva actually ever existed on the planet or not, but the stories do. And both of them were big smokers, big ganja smokers. They both took life with a little pinch of salt, didn't take themselves seriously, and smoked all the way through it. There's something to be said in that. But the Bob
Exactly.
Marley thing, just very quickly, Alfie, on my album with the Phoenix Rose, which is my band, Bob Marley's lead guitarist, Junior Marvin, who plays all those electric guitar riffs on all the songs that we know, he plays on my album, right? And check this out for a story. When Bob Marley died, he was at his literally at his deathbed, you know, when he died, because he was part of the band. And then Junior Marvin actually led the Wailers, so he became the vocalist for the Wailers for about, you know, 40 years since Bob died. And then we were in the recording studio with my producer, and he got a phone call, and he came off the phone, and he was a Jamaican guy, and he said, "You'd never guess who that was." I was like, "No, who was it?" He said, "Well, Junior Marvin." And I was like, "Junior Marvin? Bob Marley's good." He goes, "Yeah, man, he's coming to England." And then the next day, he was in our studio, no word of a lie, playing the riffs from some of the songs that he played on Bob's album, and then reinterpreting them and putting them on my album, The Phoenix Rose. And it was just like, oh my God. And I sat down with him to have dinner that night at my friend's house. He's funnily enough African, so we had this very soul food meal, and I was just talking about Bob. And I genuinely to this day feel that Bob's muse or Bob or his spirit or whatever it was helped me to write some of the songs that are on my album. So that's like I've got a real deep connection with Bob Marley. So
What
thank
an
you for
amazing
that.
story. What an amazing story. And you've got to watch the film then, for sure.
Well, I went out to Jamaica. I was invited out by the Jamaican Tourist Board to go to go out for Bob, one of Bob's, I think it was his 50th year since he died, or 40, I can't remember exactly now. So we were invited out by the Jamaican Tourist Board, and I went to his house, I went to the concert. Oh mate, honestly, it was mind-blowing. My daughter now, who's eight, she was about two then. So yeah, it was about six, 7 years ago. So yeah, so I'm looking really looking forward to watching the film, because culturally I really feel it, and you know, there we are. So thank you for that, Alfie. That's brought a smile to my heart, and I'm sure lots of our listeners too. So let's get back to you, right? Couple of things that I just want to go back to bring forward, because I've obviously interjected with something completely different with Bob. But you talked about the pandemic. What came up for me is the lack of trust in the system that we are now living in, right? So the pandemic happened, and I think what it showed is that actually the pharmaceutical companies, although yes, they tried to get, you know, vaccinations and everything that we needed in order to curb it, there wasn't perhaps quite as much integrity or research done as there could have been, right? And I think a lot of this is coming to the forefront now. So I feel like, particularly within young men, there was a lot of mistrust in the system, and whether that's the medical, whether it's politics, whether it's fight, you know, there's all kinds of stuff, right? So I just wanted to flag that. And then the other thing that came to my mind is that with all this mental health and all this stuff that's going on, and I think it's very clear. I can relate this to the climate crisis as well. It's very clear that the solutions are all there, right? Every single solution that we need to fix mental health is there, and every single solution we need to fix the climate crisis is there. The problem is the money makers, the money machine, the economic system that drives our financial systems doesn't want to fix it. Wants us sick because that makes more money. Wants the planet sick and wants us sick. So I don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but how true is that in your world, in your area of customer base?
Yeah, so I don't want to get into conspiracies because I could spend all day on this.
That's another show.
It's another show in itself. But my audience, my community, everyone you speak to, there is no more trust in the system. Like you ask young men now, who you're voting for, people don't even want to vote. don't even want to vote anymore because it's all lies. And nothing, and just we don't feel that there's actually the agenda is for us, the agenda's for them. And I think what we learned from COVID and what you're seeing on like just on social media nowadays with all the exposure of big corporates with what toxicities are in all of our foods that we're eating. And these are foods that we've all been led to believe that you quickly nip down the shop and get a loaf of bread that hasn't got four ingredients in like it should do. It's got 25 and ones you can't even pronounce. You wouldn't even be able to read out loud. And we're not educated in it. And now I think social media, what social media is doing is actually, it's bringing us another vehicle for information, which is making us realize. And so when you talk about the amount of money that was invested into COVID for vaccinations to be done within like 6 months to 12 months, look at the pandemic that we're in for mental health.
Yeah.
How many people are dying around the world?
Yeah.
The solutions are there. We don't need to make a vaccine for it. Mm. We should implement solutions to our community to be able to give people that real hand, to be able to give people more than just an antidepressant that essentially is nothing but, like you say, a plaster that doesn't have any root cause.
We've got a broken system, haven't we? We're gonna have to cut to a commercial break, Alfie, but let's stay with a broken system. Let's go quickly to a break, and then we'll come back and we'll pick up on that broken system and what you're doing to fix it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Jarvis Smith here. This is Lean Into Clean. I'm here with Alfie Ruffle. We've been talking about the broken system. Oh, we could go on about it, Alfie, but let's use this last space, if you like, segment of the show for positivity. So what changes are you seeing by the work that you're doing? Have you got any, like, you know, really nice standout stories that you could share with us?
Yeah, from like physical health, which is a lot easier to see, yeah, and talk about as well, because a lot of people don't want to talk about how they've been in such a bad place and how they're coming out of it. So you don't have a lot of testimonials around it. But for physical health, you know, you can see it. Like for fibromyalgia, we've had people who said they've not been able to get out of bed in the mornings, taking our oil 2 weeks later, they're out of bed. People with bad backs, sciatica, people like my dad, for instance, I've had people say, you know, said that we've actually saved their lives. Now, but for mental health, what we are doing at the minute, we're doing wellness plans. So rather than just say, right, just take this oil and you take that in the morning and at night, don't be wrong, you take it consistently, it is going to help. However, if you actually implement the oil, do it consistently, religiously, so morning and night, but then you also do some other tactics, some therapy, some other medicines that may help with your specific mental or physical health. Now, the results that we get from that is, yeah, outstanding. And, you know, just for me, I'm not a mental health professional. I don't call myself a mental health nurse or anything like this. And I'm just sort of peer-to-peer support and sort of, you know, some lived experiences and, you know, and some dealing with a little bit of grief as well. So I think I'm an able person to be able to hold conversation, hold space for somebody who is struggling, who, you know, not that confident in themselves. So through a lot of friends and people who become part of the community who now I'd like to call friends, you know, we've helped many of people from all walks and all types of different illnesses as well.
Nice. That's really encouraging to hear. I tell you what, I mean, intuitively, I'm guided just to share this with you. But, we've got this kind of young male culture, and unfortunately, they are looking to be part of something. So we got the kind of Andrew Tate, kind of quite disruptive, but young men are clearly attaching themselves to that because just to be a part of something. And then we've perhaps got, some other movements. And I think what I see, and just with you, is that there's a whole opportunity here for you as a presenter, as a YouTube channeler, as a content provider, to be that. Because I know a lot of young men that can't stand the kind of Andrew Tate philosophy, but they haven't really got anywhere to go. So maybe you're going to fill that gap for people.
Who knows? Who knows? Look, Andrew Tate, I like some stuff that Andrew Tate says, but then he also says some other stuff that just completely trips himself up and make and completely ruins his own whole name. But it's some of the messages that he says and some of the things he says, which really catches the young minds and helps them resonate. And it's completely against the system. And talking up about that, which people are becoming interested in. And it's somebody who's not that sort of left media who are channeling the information that for us to sort of only read and listen to. But then you've got somebody like Andrew Tate, who, professional fighter or used to be ex-professional fighter, somebody who's earned lots of money, who's sort of got that, social stature. But then the other things that he says, actually, it's misguiding the young men of the world, And the other things he says about men being having to be men and talking about resilience, I think we all resonate to that, and we want to be a part of that. So I think that's the reasons why Andrew Tate gets the recognition and gets that community following from young men. For me, whatever this turns out to be is as long as we're making impact in the world. I'm not like I need to be the next Andrew Tate. No, there's no imagination around that. We're bringing media into what we're doing because we understand content is king in today's world. And to really help people navigate this life, we need to go in the places where they're going. And it is social media nowadays. A lot of people are spending a lot of time on that daily. So what we want to do is we're going to build social channels to essentially just build awareness around what we're up to. And what we're up to is on the farm. So we're going to be growing cannabis, but we're also going to be growing organic foods. We're also going to have wellness retreats where we're going to be teaching people about meditation, breath work. We do like boxercise on site. We do all sorts of different sports and therapies in able to capture wider audience, but to also bring these like natural alternative ways of healing to knowledge, to people to be able to understand. Because you speak to a lot of people in this town, and if you talk about meditation, they instantly think you go to the lotus position, some man like 3,000 meters up in the air in a mountain, in a temple, trying to meditate. It doesn't need to be that. Meditation could be you're stood in the queue at Tesco's and you just actually become present with yourself rather than thinking about the past or thinking about the future. And that's essentially what anxiety and depression is, being in one of those states. Bring yourself to the present, and then that's actually how you're going to start to become a bit more tougher and resilient in the mind. And it's educating on that. And once we start to educate on that, I genuinely think we would start to be able to raise humanity through that.
Yeah, lovely. I love it. I love it. So how can people find you? I mean, I did some searches on social media. I put Revitalize into search, and you come up very, very quickly. But just share how people can get hold of you, how they can connect with you.
Yeah, so at Rio Vitalize. So it's just a bit like Revitalize, but Rio instead. RIO, and it's Vitalise. And then that's across all social media platforms. And then to find us on our website, it's www.rio-vitalize.com.
Great, great, great.
That's
So there you
there.
go. You heard it here. Alfie, I'm going to play your next song. It'll probably take us up to the time that we'll be talk getting towards the end of the show. But is there anything you'd like to say that we haven't talked about that you think I might have missed, or you might have missed that you think now is just a moment just to end on?
Yeah. So we are looked at and are seen as a CBD brand. CBD is just is the product that's bringing us to market. We're very much a startup business. However, I feel like we're about to be on a huge trajectory of growth. So we're a very fast growing startup business who is going to be operating not just in Spain, but in Uruguay and in America too. We've just partnered with the Uruguayan government. So we're actually licensed to do THC, psilocybin, LSD and MDMA, all for research basis. So
amazing.
Doing psychedelic assisted therapy, working with the DEA clinical research units. Mm-hmm. We're going to use the products that we're growing to actually get hard medical science based data to be able to bring more assisted natural therapies to market and more solutions to mental health. So watch out for this space. We're not just a CBD brand. We're going hard, and we've got the right people on our board to actually make real social change. So follow us now and be a part of the journey.
That's brilliant, Alfie. Yeah, brilliant. Well said. Thank you very much. I can't wait to get invited to Uruguay or Spain or wherever you're going to be setting up. I'd love to come and be. I know my producer, Johan, who's waving in the background, would like to as well. So count us in. You've got two young, vital, revitalized men that want to come and join you. So you've got us on board, Alfie. So here's your second song. What's the second song? We're going to play this one out. I'm going to say goodbye to you, and then we'll move into me saying goodbye to everybody. So what's the next song you've chosen, Alfie, and why have you chosen it?
My next song is Michael Jackson Earth Song. For some reason, this last couple of weeks, Michael Jackson's fell on my Spotify playlist, and what more impactful song to talk about the world and how long ago this song come out, how needed and how it's needed in today's current situation.
Love it, mate. It's a fantastic song. I do know, I remember reading that Michael Jackson wrote this song while sitting in a tree. He used to write many of his songs sitting in a tree. And this one was given to him by the tree. That's how he describes it. So I'm glad that Michael Jackson is being revitalized on your Spotify playlist, because, he's an amazing musician. And thank you for bringing this song to us. Alfie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Make sure you connect with Alfie at rio-vitalized.com and Rio Vitalized on the social media platforms. And we'll look forward to getting you back, Alfie, so we can hear where you are on the journey soon. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Yeah, so nice to hear that record again. It's Michael Jackson, the Earth Song. Thanks to Alfie. What a legend. And well, I mean, we come to the end of the show. These hours just go so quickly. So as always, I'm going to try not to break the trend. We're going to play out with my song, Save the World by Jarvis Smith, featuring Rita Mora. Just remember, guys, if you get a chance to play this song, add it to your Spotify or iTunes or Amazon playlist. The more it gets played, the more money we can send to Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures mapper, which is the most affected people and areas around the world. This is Save the World by yours truly. Thank you to you all. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.